Joel, great to have you here. Welcome to Carve.
Thanks for having me, Sally.
You're guest editing Runway Journal's 44th edition, where you're calling for writing and artwork themed around the concept of time. And in the call out, you write, time is money, time is a political tool, time is a measurement, time is a feeling, time is different if you're a single mum on the bus. How do you see time being linked with money and politics?
Wow. Yeah. Well, I think, it's sort of simplistic or a little bit obvious, you know, to think about analogies of, you know, time as money or time is money, you know, value is kind of, if you want to talk about it in like a Marxist perspective, right? Like value is applied to an object through labor, which is, you know, someone's time, as well as, you know, I think you talk to a lot of people in general, and depending on their particular positionality, I think we could all use a bit more time. And I think in the current kind of capitalist situation that we find ourselves in, you know, our time is money in lots of ways, whether that be your labor or the luxuries that you afford yourself. You know, usually you're forking over money to enjoy something for a period of time. I mean, that's all a bit simple. I think the call out for me in a big way was thinking about what other perspectives people had on it and sort of finding the sort of mess in our kind of own individual or cultural relationships to time, because it's obviously ubiquitous in the sense that it's how we run the economy, it's how we run things efficiently, it's how we all keep across many forms of movement in our life. But it's also incredibly subjective, I think, in the ways that we move through the world and experience it. And I guess the list for the Runway Journal that I wrote for things to consider have just sort of been the start of kind of digging at the kind of multiple interpretations or reflections on what time can mean to people.
And one of the memes that you use in the call out is one that's been circulating recently around the internet, which says, like, I don't know what time is anymore. All I know is pre-11 a.m. press conference with Gladys and post-11 a.m. press conference with Gladys. And I was reflecting on that and thinking about how at this time, the internet has been actually quite a bit of a source of joy for me. And one of the best things that you can find on the internet is humor. So I was wondering how you connect with humor in your work, and if that's something that you're interested in exploring with the issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I think something that's really interesting, especially about that meme, or just kind of memes in general, at times, is one, to talk about time, how efficient they are, right? Like, it's kind of so interesting for us to engage in these, like, incredibly, I don't know, loaded imagery that sort of can create very interesting and sort of funny circumstances very quickly. I think memes in a sort of more abstract or conceptual way are really, really amazing. I think they are, I think a really good meme is a work of art. And that comes down to, I think, the ways that it can resonate in, what am I trying to say? I think they're efficient because they can kind of link to experiences and ideas quite quickly. There's sort of a new set of symbols that kind of comes out of us being so tied to these devices that kind of expand across language and meaning. Sort of the ways that they, I mean, I could talk about memes for a really long time, but I think language and humor is really important. I think especially when talking about something so serious, or at least in the past, a lot of the work that I have done and kind of continue to do is quite heavy and quite serious. So it's always important to find opportunities for levity or humor or just like how surreal and absurd the world is, especially right now. And I think in another way, that has a reflection in talking about time for me, because we all agree on what time it is. And that is an amazing and very interesting thing, because like time doesn't really exist. It's a construction that we kind of all play along with. And I mean, you can think about it in different ways, but I think that that's a really interesting opportunity to sort of unpack the absurdity of like everyday life and kind of give it new meaning and think about the different ways that we're experiencing things. Because I think we have to, I don't know, for me, this is another kind of tangent. I feel like time is trying to like flatten everything out a bit for everybody, which is really great if you're like trying to run an efficient capitalist economy and trying to do all these things. But I think it also, questioning it, offers opportunities to hold many possibilities all at once. And I think that that's really interesting. And for me, the point of making work. So I think within the call out, I'm the most interested in the sort of funny, personal, subjective interpretations of what time is and how humorous that is for us all.
Well, you also talk about the Hyde Park Barracks clock tower being on unceded Gadigal lands. And you talk about how this is the first public timekeeping device to exist on the Australian, well, what we call Australia, on the continent. And it's been used to structure the labour and the movements of convicts and the militia. And I wanted to talk to you about how there's been such a lot of debate recently internationally about public statues as they are oppressive symbols of colonisation. I was interested because I'd never really heard about someone referring to a clock tower as part of one of those oppressive symbols of colonizations, and I thought that was really interesting. So is that something that you think about when you look at that clock tower?
So yeah, I mean, the Hyde Park Barracks is a pretty interesting place. It's become a bit of a node for me in a lot of the research that I've been doing recently. So I work at UTS in the design faculty. I graduated from architecture masters, and now I'm sort of working as a researcher and a tutor, potentially going to do a PhD soon. And so I've been doing some research centered around the Hyde Park Barracks for a few months now, and I've been spending quite a bit of time there. So it's been interesting thinking through a singular object and the way that it sort of moves through, has moved through time, that building, the materials that it's made out of, I think are all kind of really interesting. I think a clock is definitely establishing a different relationship, right? And a different order. I mean, it is about order and ordering the labor of convicts and other people on this place. We don't question the sort of practical stuff that makes sense about the situations that we're in at the moment. And there's like histories of colonization, extractivist practices, all of the kind of problematic relationships we have between each other and the earth right now, are all structured by really boring, banal, and like kind of invisible factors in so many ways. And I mean, that's the project of colonialism and colonization, is to sort of reach this 100, I kind of think about it sometimes as like a loading bar on like a I don't know, a download or something, where it's like approaching 100% colonization or colonialism, which like a city is operating like, is to completely disconnect it from context and place and belonging and understanding of what was here before. And that's impossible, at least I believe that, and as long as Aboriginal people, Torres Strait Islander people, you know, First Nations across the globe exist, that that is going to be impossible. But I think it's sort of an interesting thing to realize is the sort of the point, as much as, I mean, yeah, it's kind of the point of these structures is to erase, shift the relationships, change these conversations, and support us in our lifestyles that were introduced here, because that's how settler colonialism works, right? It settles in a place, and that that dynamic, the things that allow us to exist. I think it's not to say that it's objectively or flat out wrong. There's quite a lot of things that we can't change about the past, but I think it's for me at least, an interesting thing for to research and to problematize and to think about is that the realities that we live in at the moment come at the cost of others. And I think that that can be talked about through time, because I think, you know, we operate in a system or an economy or a lifestyle that prioritizes economic development and growth, infinite growth, but we don't live in an infinite planet, and we don't exist. We exist within limits. So how do we think about or understand those limits? And for me, in a lot of ways, not just in relationship to the sort of, I guess, phenomenon of like a clock being erected in a new place where there wasn't a clock before. Of course, there was timekeeping and cultures around that existed here since the first sunrise. But this new imposition of a relationship to the stars and the sun and the sky and how to order labor, took away from something else and continues to take away from something else. And that's, I think, what we have to understand about the position that we're all in at the moment is, the things that we like and the things that we enjoy and the things that we do often are coming at the cost of other things.
Yeah. And I suppose artists can do with that symbol what they will. So what are you looking for in entries into the issue? I know that Runway is a digital publication, so the artists have to be really practiced in digital art and writing, or do they have to be established writers? Who can apply?
Really, I would love to see as many people as possible. Obviously, predominant, you know, like I have a bias towards engaging with any really trying to prioritize First Nations, Indigenous, especially Black and Brown women, or you know, female identifying femmes, otherwise to the front. But for the most part, I would like to see. I mean, it's a privilege to be in a position to even say, like, I would like to see this. I think what's exciting and what I've taken from my own experience, kind of reading and participating with Runway and now being asked to be the guest editor for an issue is their kind of mission statement is about sort of platforming and developing practices as well. So there's a real, I think, interest in looking at emerging artists who are looking to try and develop either, you know, multimedia projects that could be platformed on the website or their own writing practices. If you do enter, I understand, and your proposal gets through, I understand that myself and some of the other Runway team will be kind of on board in a kind of position to facilitate as mentors in the kind of editing process.
Fantastic. Well, Joel, that's probably all we have time for.
Easy. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on Carve.